Romans 2:3. Ha! We're speeding.
No concept. On my part, that's it's all really out of control situation.
Yeah.
Sometimes just call it.
The bulk of the last part of Romans 2 was to sort of dismiss the idea of the value of being a Jew. And so now Paul explains it. You have to remember that Romans was written about A.D. 60. So it was 10 years or so before the temple was destroyed. And so keep that in mind when we're reading this. What advantage hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much, every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now, this is really, really interesting to me, anyway. The word advantage is the Greek word parisos, and it means status by bloodline, or it's used in it's the word which I had to look up, prerogation. And prerogation means the idea of being, it's prerogation is what compels everybody to try to do their genealogical tables, because they're looking for something of value back somewhere. And it also it's the basis upon which the so-called royal families of Europe were kings. Did you ever think about how did somebody get to be a king? Well, they had to have some basis for it. In the ancient times, it was always by either real bloodline or made-up bloodline. Just whether it's the Caesars or the kings of France and England and the various emperors in Europe, they always ended up trying to claim a bloodline through something called the Merovingian dynasty. And this was the group that believed and first started the fairy tale that Christ was married and had a son. And so they all end up trying to claim the bloodline through that bloodline. So it goes to the back to the house of David. And so that's where the Tudors and even the Caesars in Rome and later in the Windsors in England and the Tsars in Russia, they all, I mean, it was like this weird thing that happened as a result of this weird theology that came about that Jesus had a son. And it's where we get the Da Vinci Code and all those. It's just crazy, but what? You're doing it again.
They need that, though. These people, without that, they have to believe, or they have to...
Well, there's a tribal societies. You remember, that's what we all came from. And in a tribal society, somebody was chief. And they normally it was the guy that had the most muscles or something. And then when the societies got bigger and they were merging clans, if you will, then they had to have some way to say who's a king. And so it's all about this prerogation is the basis for it. You're doing it too. Harry.
I just saw an article about this. They found that it's like one in
5 or some huge, it's 1 in 5, I think, Irishmen is descended from a guy named Niles, some warrior chieftain from centuries ago, and their name now is O'Neill, or some form of O'Neill. It means of Niles. But it's like 1 in 5 Irishmen is a direct descendant of this guy. And they're all excited about it.
Well, Mrs. Skippy is her husband is a direct descendant of the King of England. I listened to his mother tell me about that just about every day while I told her it was meaningless. But anyway, so what advantage, what parisos, what advantage has the Jew, the Iodius, and it means the bloodline of the Jew, the Iodius. What profit, what usefulness is circumcision? Now, we've never really talked about this, but circumcision is the Greek word paratome, and it means the cutting off the head of your what? But it also means, and the way it was used in the classic Greek language was an extinction of passions or a removal of some kind of impurity. So that's why we see this word used for all kinds of stuff in the New Testament. It doesn't always mean the snipping. It just means the stopping of doing something or the removal of some impurity. Or it would be like if we took a vote to get rid of Harry, then that would be circumcision.
I vote yes.
To the circumcision or the getting rid of Harry?
Getting rid of Harry.
Does everybody understand this?
And by doing that, you gain favor with God or you achieve something by doing this.
Well, you end up getting rid of the impurity that's within you. It doesn't matter what it was. I mean, if you asked a leper to leave or if you put people with bird flu in quarantine, you would be circumcising them. Or peritoming in the Greek. Does everybody understand that? This is real important to get this idea because we always think if we hear the word circumcision, we only know of one meaning. So, what advantage has the Jew and what profit is circumcision? Now, Paul then says, much, every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now again, remember, everything that's going on right now in terms of Paul's life and Paul's writing, he is speaking to the world or the church as it was then. And so what advantage has the Jew? Much, because the temple is standing. If the sacrifices were completed properly and if everything was done exactly right, then they still had a chance for salvation just because they were a Jew. Now, you understand that almost all of the sacrificial activities within the sacrificial system were done by the priests. And so all the people did was watch. There's a couple exceptions, but and so you just watch it. But somehow,
and that is your participation in that.
Right, and this is where this whole idea of the dispensationalism comes in. Where we have, you know, all of the foreign policy of the United States being because the Jew is those people over there, if we protect them, then God will bless us. And here's what we're going to do, and here's how we're going to do it. And the problem is, there isn't a person alive that can prove they're a Jew. Because all the genealogical records were lost. The infinite detailed genealogical records that prove the people of which family they came from. And the reason they did that is because of the Jubilee year, because they had to come back and they had to go before a certain order of Levites or priests. And they had to prove their bloodline that they came from the family for which they were claiming that piece of property. So this was all going on at the time Paul was writing, right? Now you're doing it again.
Well, I just saw another cool type that
it's really neat that all I had to do was watch the priest make the sacrifice, because that's still the case. All we have to do is see our high priest made the sacrifice.
Amen.
It's a completion of the type.
Much in every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our righteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh revenge or vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? If the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Anyway, they can go on and on and on. But let's look at this idea that's so prevalent, especially in the evangelical church. That the Jewish, I'm not anti-Semitic, I'm just not pro-Israel. Because Israel of God no longer exists. It hadn't existed for well over 1,000 years. And yet everybody, it's not surprising, there's whole nations of Europe that believe the lie of their king came from the royal bloodline. It's not surprising that whole units of Christianity would believe that that's the Israel of God, that little place over there.
That's Israel of the flesh, right?
Right.
Yeah, you said Israel of God.
I said they believe that it's the Israel of God.
Yeah.
Come on, wake up.
I was clarifying for the listening audience.
So what do we say? We're going to see a whole bunch of this in Romans 3, but let's go to Colossians chapter 3.
You know, I'm trying to think of why is this important that this be clarified. Comes is where your faith is placed. If you think that's the Israel of God, then you expend your energy and your time, your thoughts, whatever, thinking that place is special. If I worship it or if I support it, I'm special. You know, I'm joined in with that, you know, that truth, so I'm okay.
If you, again, it's from Exodus 12, I will bless, where God said to Abraham, Genesis 12. It's Genesis 12. Anyway, wherever it is. So I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you.
Right.
And so, and again, just think of the fairy tales that people believe. Think of, in India, there are 5 million named gods. There's a god for everything. A God for everyone in all our particular circumstances. We can say that's subjective truth. That's what they believe, and that's good for them. Well, that's fine. Well, what about Islam? They believe that Muhammad is the prophet of God, and there's a billion people that believe that. And that particular sect that the Iranian president is a member of, they believe that the Mahdi, their Messiah, has been buried in a cave. And as soon as Ahmadinejad, or whatever his name is, wipes out Israel, then this guy is going to come out of a cave and save and make them the rulers of the world. Well, that's the same kind of fairy tale that evangelical Christians believe. That God is going to come back to earth and stand on the earth, and we're going to have the kingdom, the righteous kingdom of God on the earth, and we'll all go up to Jerusalem once a year and worship him. That's what most of evangelical Christianity believes.
Yeah, but that can't happen until certain things are done, just like I've been done.
Well, it's always a way of delaying. It's always a way of not having faith. And it always is a way of you having something to do. Because something to do is what gives humans their worth. In every club or cafe or any time you meet anybody, the first thing they ask, what do? And it's a stupid question. What?
Funny. What do you do? I'm doing it now.
Well, here we go. Chapter 3, verse of Colossians. If then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you also appear with him in glory. Now, again, remember, appear doesn't mean like he's going to come over there and appear. It's the word parousia. When he's revealed to you, when you see this mystery, and all you have to do to see the mystery is take the veil off your eyes. That can only be done by repentance, not by memorizing anything, right? Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Mortify just means what? It means consider dead. And your members which are upon the earth, which includes all of you. It includes any part of you. It includes your mind, your emotions. But if you continue to... It includes how you feel, how you think, whether you're sad or happy. You mortify it all. You consider it dead. Therefore, if you consider it dead, you owe it nothing. Now, you can't do that until you find out everything is vanity. But as long as you think, as you've heard me say it a million times, as long as you've got places to go and things to do, you can never consider, you can never mortify. It doesn't matter if you're going to do great things for God. You can't mortify. Because you're giving breath to a part, and if you give breath to a part, then all of the instead of Christ is revealed.
This is like gravity. It's like...
Well, it's not. That's why nothing in the Scripture, nothing is optional. So if you mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which also you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now let's look at another one. Go to Galatians. Go backwards a few pages. Galatians 3. And this talks about the purpose of the law. In verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Now why is that important? Because he cut the covenant, the internal, incredible covenant with Moses. And he alone walked, remember? He cut all the animals in half.
I mean, Abraham.
I mean, Abraham, what did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. Abraham cut all the animals in half, and then he walked through the covenant through the blood of all the animals in a figure eight. And then if in a normal kind of contract, if you were making a contract, then you would have walked that covenant, and the blood of the sacrifice was on your feet. And then you did some other things with getting the blood in your hand and shaking hands. But the point of it is, it says if either one of us breaks his covenant, the same thing will happen to you as what happened to these animals. So, now when God made the covenant with Abraham, Abraham didn't walk it. God walked it. Abraham fell asleep. So God made the covenant with Abraham that if he or any of his descendants or any of the descendants of faith broke the covenant, God would die. Now, thankfully, there was a resurrection, but that's why the whole idea of the virgin birth and the seed of Christ and the seed of man, I mean, the Son of God and Son of Man, he had to be both so that he could fulfill that mystery. And in his resurrection, fulfilled the totality of the covenant. But that's what this means here. It says when a covenant... When verse 20, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. So that's the surprise that God made. You understand?
This reminds me of the Melito homily where in the very beginning it talks about, you know, you're going to discover who the one is that suffers and how God came down and took upon him the form of the one who suffers. That's this right here. It wasn't like if you break this covenant, it was when you break this covenant. I mean, God fully knew that what he was doing was making a deal with a fallen creature to lift it up.
Verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have come by the law. Now, but the scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. I mean, it's so this idea of prerogation, which the idea that the Jew is entitled to something because he's a Jew, it just wiped off the map. And the fact, there's not, as I said, there is not one person that claims to be Jewish that can prove he's Jewish today. You understand? You can say he can prove he's from Israel or the Israeli citizenship, but to be a Jew, you had to be a direct descendant of Abraham. So what have we said?
So this idea of proving it is intrinsic in the system. It can't be verified or whatever said.
You can't have prerogation unless you have some kind of proof.
Yeah. And even if you happen to be of Abraham, it's no good. because it can't be proven. It's just, it's only one witness.
Right. That's why the idea of if Jesus Christ came back to earth today in the flesh, he couldn't prove he was the Messiah. Yeah. All he could do was do tricks.
But God, John kind of took care of, is it pronounced prerogation?
Prerogation.
When he said, you're of your father, the devil, there's your prerogation.
Well, that was Christ that said it.
There's your, he said, you sons of the serpent. I mean, there's your prerogation for you.
Well, and this also, this is why it's so important that we know the law, because, and we don't, I mean, I know a little bit, but otherwise you can't understand this idea. The whole idea is that it's Levirate marriage, which means what happens if the husband dies, who does the wife belong to? And that's the whole idea. It's the near kinsman. And that's what we'll study intently in a Pentecost coming up. Because the God of this world is the nearer kinsman than Christ is to us. And so we then, if as long as we continue, and what I hope, my only chance is, the God of this world and the value systems of this world... there's nothing about me that he wants, because he wants success and he wants esteem and he wants all of the things that the world wants. He wants you to want and you to go after. And if he sees you being all these things, then he has the right of first. He's the nearer kinsman. That's why the gospel is only to the poor, the ones that can't bring something to an end. Is that all making sense a little bit? Can you thank God that we're failures? Can you thank God that we can't do anything that we think we should?
Just thinking about how all these reality shows are trying to find out who's the best. Survivor.
Of the.
The Bachelor. And,
yeah.
And then you get to sports and you want a champion.
Yeah, and then we, then we use those champions as recruitment tools. Implicit being, if you believe in Christ, then you can become a champion.
And second place ain't crap.
And this, all of this is the lie of the evil one. It's all the world wandering after the beast. Because this is really important. You see this, because otherwise it can be so easily deceived, because all of a sudden in some little thing you'll think you need to get it right, or you think that the whole idea of doing everything you do is unto the Lord in thought, in word, and in deed, is that you have no investment in the outcome. The outcome is God's business.
And the idea that not one jot or tittle shall pass away, and Christ says, I come not to destroy the law but to fulfill it. And part of the law is this thing about circumcision, which is cut off the dirty, sinful part of the flesh and do away with it. Well, what is the dirty, sinful part of our flesh? It's all of it.
Well,
which is, that's saying the same thing. You have to know that you're dead. You have to leave the flesh behind, because it's
no more to be tested.
It's done.
The night has come. No man can work. What do you do? What am I going to do then? Well, you believe on him who he has sent. Well, if I believe that only, then I just go sit in the corner or stay in my room. Well, it's because you don't believe in the power of God.
It's like the law of circumcision isn't done away with. It's completely expanded and fulfilled. All the flesh has to be circumcised, not just part of it.
That's why they were circumcised on the eighth day. The eighth is always the resurrection. But we could go, every little aspect. That's why there's only one story. And then you get these idiots that, this is what Jesus ate. This is how, if you eat this, you'll be healthy. You have no idea what Jesus ate, you blithering idiot.
Well,
You're just using it to con other people because your faith healing didn't work.
This is the year of favor.
Like John.
Does everybody understand? Anybody not understand what we said this morning? Because I promise you, if you can be apprehended by this, then your warfare really is over. How can you get upset because Sue threw away your pot, or some attorney didn't pay you?
You don't have a pot to piss in.
Oh, that kind of pot.
Yeah. No, that's what Ronnie was doing in the pot she threw away that was Pete's was cooking in, and Ronnie was peeing in it.
Kevin was smoking.
And then,
thank you for
cooking. That's why you lost the
Please, if you don't hear, if there's something about this that you don't understand, please don't sit in silence. It's the same story every day, but this is pretty pointed. There's neither male nor female, bond or free, Jew or Greek, or any other nation.
He's writing this to the Romans because they considered the Jew to be special, or
yeah.
I mean, was that they were thinking we need to be like the Jew?
Well, the Christians that became Remember, up until right about now, about AD 60, the Jews had the special relationship with Caesar. And they didn't have to do what every other nation did, which was give all the praise to Caesar. But now, and the Christians were part of that. But now, right about this time, in the next two to three years, then you're going to find that all of a sudden the Romans determined, because the Jews kicked the Christians out. And so all of a sudden, the Roman government found out, wait a minute, these people that are called Christians don't have any merit with us. And all of a sudden, all the persecution came. And that's when we see, remember the coppersmith Alexander and the two others testified against Paul at the triumvirate. And the triumvirate, one of the members of the triumvirate was Nero. And then, in a few years now, when in AD 70, because of all the rebellion that was going on, and in Israel, and then all of them, they came in and sacked the temple. And so then the Christians and Jews got, the Jews were still in a special privilege. But then in AD 132, when the Rabbi Akiba led the Bar Kokhba rebellion, then, and it took Rome 3 years to destroy him, then everything Jewish in the Roman Empire was forbidden. The feast days, the Torah, the synagogue, everything was forbidden. But during that time, starting in, right about now where we just read, that slowly but surely for the next 50 or so years, the Jews and Christians split, and then after AD 70, they split a whole bunch more, and then after 132, they really split because they stopped celebrating. They couldn't celebrate the Jewish feast days. And by the time of Constantine in 325, then he made Christianity the state religion, and then everything was screwed up because then you begin to worship buildings and houses of God. We started calling buildings churches instead of people, the called out ones. But that's the progression, how things... So you can see why the night of the last day has taken so long, because the evil one has succeeded in deceiving everybody in 1,000 ways. Mainly that It's success according to your understanding was what you were aiming for, whether it's numbers of people or... So think on these things. Amen? What?
I just think it's the same thing if somebody wrote a book and said, look, you know, United States is a joke. It's, you put your faith in the United States. There's no privilege here. There's no special status of being an American citizen. And that's essentially what he's saying. The Christians who thought being a Jew was the ultimate point of Christianity.
And we're certainly not saying that, but people accuse us of that because we celebrate the feasts. What did somebody call us?
Quaker
Baptist.
Quaker and a Jew or something?
Quaker, no. Quaker Jewish, Jew. Jewish Quakers.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Okay, everybody, got it? Take it, big guy.
Ring the bell.